population, because those who are experts in astrological knowledge and performance of the birth ceremony instructed in this field about the future history of a child. Then, being consciously remunerated, they all return to their respective homes.
So, can I interrupt just for one moment? So, Prabhus, if we could all please mute at this time. My apologies for not. Something happened to pre-conferencing. I only have one or two people on there. So, everybody's on Skype. We all have to mute at this time. Thank you, Mother Gandhari. Go ahead.
The Vedas are the storehouse of knowledge, both material and spiritual. But such knowledge aims at perfection, self-realization. In other words, the Vedas are the guide for civilized man in every respect. This human life is the opportunity to get free from all material miseries. It is properly guided by the knowledge of the Vedas in the matters of both material and spiritual salvation. The specific intelligent class of men who were devoted particularly to the knowledge of the Vedas were called the Vipras, or the graduates of Vedic knowledge. There are different branches of knowledge in the Vedas, of which astrology and astrology are two important branches necessary for the common man. So, the intelligent man, generally known as the Brahmanas, took up all its branches of the knowledge to guide society. Even the department of military education, Dhanurveda, was also taken up by such intelligent men. And the Vipras were also teachers of this section of knowledge, and as were Dronacharya, Vipacharya, etc. Second paragraph. The word Vipra mentioned here is significant. There is a little difference between the Vipras and the Brahmanas. The Vipras are those who are expert in karma kanda or fruitive activities, guiding the society towards fulfilling material necessities of life, whereas the Brahmanas are expert in spiritual knowledge of transcendence. This department of knowledge is called Jnana. And above this, there is the Upasana Kanda. The culmination of Upasana Kanda is the devotional service of the Vaishnava. And when the Brahmanas achieve perfection, they are called Vaishnavas. Vishnu worship is the highest of modes of worship. Elevated Brahmins are Vaishnavas engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord. And third, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the science of devotion, so it's very dear to the Vaishnava. And as explained in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the mature fruit of Vedic knowledge and is superior subjector above three kinds, namely karma, nana, and asa. Third paragraph. Amongst the karmakanda experts, the chartered experts were good astrologers who could tell all the future history of born child by the calculation of the time and now. Such expert chartered Vipras present during the birth of Maharaj Parikshit and his grandfather Maharaj Yudhishthira awarded the Vipras sufficiently with gold, land, villages, grains, and other valuable necessities of life, which also include cows. There is a need of such Vipras in our social structure, and it is the duty of the day to maintain them comfortably, as designed in the basic procedure. Such expert Vipras, being sufficiently paid as a state, could give free service to the people in general, and thus this department of Vedic knowledge would be available for all. Om Jnana Namasya Jnana Jina Shalakaya Chakshur Angitam Yena Tasmai Shri Kuve Nama Shri Chaitanya Novistam Santam Yendu Tale Swayam Rupa Kanayam Dadati Swatantikam Vande Deham Shri Kurum Shri Rita Padakamam Shri Kurum Vaishamam Shri Rupam Sarvajaram Sahadana Kanchana, Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Vishnu Nam, Sahagana, Lalita, Visakham, Tamscha, Hey Krishna, Krishna Sindhu, Dena Bhadra, Jagatpade, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namastute, Vacha, Tapta, Kanchana, Gorangi, Radha, Navanuswari, Rishabhanu, Sute, Devi, Brahmami, Hari Priye, Vanchakalpantu, Pischa, Kripa Sindhu, Vaya, Vacha, Patitanam, Pamani, Vyo, Vishnu, Vedon, Mamaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. So, a translation one more time. First, those who are expert in astrological knowledge and performance of the birth ceremony instructed the university about the future history of his child. Then, with some enumerated, they all returned to their respective homes. So, this is the end of the astrological account of Maharaj Pariksit. And the end of the ceremony, a charity has to be run. So this is what happened, how they were sumptuously given the charity. As mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, one should never give up these three things, austerity, sacrifice, and charity. So everybody should perform that rite of charity. So how it is done and to whom it is done, that's also explained here very much in detail. In the beginning of this chapter, or when Maharaj Pariksit was born, and they called the astrologers, I'd like to read it again, just to refresh our memory, because this is the end, and also compared to what was said in the beginning. So with your permission, we will read that again. King Yudhishthira, this is number 30, verse 13, after Maharaj Pariksit was born. So number 13 says, King Yudhishthira, who was very satisfied with the birth of Maharaj Pariksit and the purificatory process of birth of learned Brahmins headed by Domnya in Kripa, recited auspicious things. I like to read the first part of the paragraph there, on the purport. There is a deep record and intelligent class of Brahmins who were expert performing the purificatory processes prescribed in the system of Varnashram Dharma. Unless such purificatory processes are performed, there is no possibility of good population. And in the age of Kali, the population all over the world is quality or lower for one of these purificatory processes. Paragraph mentioned that after Gardhan purificatory process, there are certain other like Simantonayana, and then Sada Bhakshanam during period of pregnancy, and when the child is born, the first purificatory process is the karma. This was performed early by Maharaj Yudhishthira with the help of good and learned Brahmins, like the Dhyanamya, the royal priest, and the child were not only priests but were also great generals. Both these learned and perfect priests, assisted by other Brahmins, were invited by Maharaj Yudhishthira to perform the ceremony. Therefore, this is highlighted by me. Therefore, all the samskars, purificatory processes, are not mere formalities or social functions only, but they are all for practical purposes and can be successfully performed by expert Brahmins, like Tanya and Ripa. And then, of course, such Brahmins are not only rare, but also not available in his age. And that's what then he continues about the spiritual upliftment. And therefore, the purpose of spiritual upliftment in this golden age, the Goswami preferred purificatory process under Pancharatrika formulas to the Vedic rites. I will just continue about the charity. On the next verse, after the one that we just now read, which was number 14, something about the charity is mentioned. I'll just read that also. It's just a short paragraph. Only the Brahmins and Sannyasis are authorized to accept charity from the householders. In all different occasions, samkars, especially during the time of birth, marriage, and death, wealth is distributed to the Brahmins because the Brahmins give a higher duty of service in regard to the prime necessity of humanity. The charity was substantial in the shape of gold, land, village, horses, elephants, food ranges with other materials, gifts, complete foodstuff. So, see how much he reached himself, Srila Prabhupada here. So, this is very much needed, especially when he mentions in the day's purport also. So, in today's purport, this knowledge aims at perfection of self. In other words, the Vedas are guides to proselytize men in every and so this Vedic knowledge should be taken seriously, and it's meant for material. Both for material and spiritual salvation. So while we live in a material world, this knowledge is very much needed. The astrology, so Srila Prabhupada mentions here, astrology, Dhanu Veda, and pathology, which is Ayurveda. So we may think, although Srila Prabhupada mentions that we cannot have that kind of Brahmins like we had them in previous ages, but he goes to explain that Vaishnavas are called elevated Brahmins. So they are even better than the regular Brahmins, or he mentioned Vipras. Vipras are trained expert karma and creative activities, and they are so expert that they should be trained properly and they don't make mistakes while performing those ritualistic activities, but he also mentions that those are necessary while we live in the real world. So the whole, we can understand that the whole chapter is dedicated to this astrology of Maharaj Parikshit. But here in the last part of today's purpose, Srila Prabhupada mentions that if these Brahmins and people were sufficiently supported by the state, and sufficiently paid by the state, then they could give free service to the people in general, and thus this department Vedic knowledge could be available for all. So it means, obviously, we all know that Srila Prabhupada wants Devi Vanasham to be implemented, so this is a very special for me in that regard that I can talk on that, that all these signs have to be by astrology, military arts, Ayurveda, Ayurveda, and many others. So, this is what Varasha means. Varasha means while we live in the material world, we follow the Vedas and the path of what the Mahajans were following. So, we may wonder, what is that? So, actually, all these Brahmins or the Vipras, they were giving the outline, or they were giving the ritualistic activities as mentioned in Karma Kanda. But what are the Mahajans doing? They would not disturb the general population by not following the rules. So if you see and analyze the lives of Mahajan, they were performing the materialist activities along with the speech activities, side by side. So we are very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada gave us the elevator method, he called the elevator method of pure devotional service. So when we perform pure devotional service, that is the method for salvation. And the person who performs that and worship Vishnu, they are called Vaishnava. So Vaishnava may not necessarily waste their time in all these karmakandic activities. But so then this astrology is one of the sciences that is part of Varnashram and is mentioned in the Vedas and has to be performed by the Vipras, because the Brahmins, we don't have the Brahmins who can perform that. Or, in other words, Srila Prabhupada wants the Brahman to actually do it properly. In the previous in this same chapter, it's mentioned that there are no proper Brahmins. But if they learn this, if they learn this science, then they could do it better than the regular Vipras. So another thing that's very important is that the society needs support. So once every house gives charity, they support the Brahmins, the state takes care of the Brahmins, then automatically they'll be able to give their knowledge free. So right now, it is not right or it's not correct when we point fingers at various Brahmins, either for charging or for naming their fees for certain services, because the whole society is completely in chaos right now. So until the proper Varnashram is situated, we have to be patient with whatever we're able to do, whatever a person is inclined to do, we can continue. And then, when the system is properly established, at that time, they can really give free knowledge. Just right now, we know that Brahmins who are inclined towards Brahminical work, they have to maintain their family, and the state or the householders are not supporting them presently. So, unfortunately, they have to go and take on the work of sometimes Sutras, sometimes Vaishyas. It is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita that in case of emergency, they can take on different duties. So, but what to do, you know? So it's best not to point fingers and be tolerant and patient, and also figure out, and that was Srila Prabhupada's first part, what his mission was, that he came to create Brahman, because right now the society, at that time the society was headless. So now, by Prabhupada's grace, we have so many qualified Brahmins. And out of those Brahmins, some of them taken the work of these Vipras, which is wonderful, because not only are they Vipras, but they are also Vaishnava Brahmins. So we have triple benefit here. They're doing work of Vipras, they are Brahmins, and they are Vaishnava. So how fortunate. So this was the desire of Srila Prabhupada. So we have Brahman, we have Vipra, Brahman, Vaishnava. So that's one part which is already established. So gradually, if we look into see what other arts are needed, right now we know there's so much need for Kshatriyas. And I was very happy to have a dialogue with Mother Narayani when she was visiting here in Ireland. And she actually heard Srila Prabhupada mention that the Rajputs are the remnants, or they have the Kshatriya blood. So we revive, or if we make them Krishna conscious to some effect, like I'm saying, I'm not repeating exactly what, because I haven't heard of it, but she confirmed what I was in my mind. So then that's the one class of Kshatriyas who can help a guide in the society, and they should be working with the Brahmins or under the guidance of Brahmins or Vaishnava Brahmins. In other words, we have plenty of Sutra and Srila Prabhupada mentions, and there is no scarcity of Vaishyas. So this is a big task that we are left to do, and all these signs have to be revived properly, and the Brahmins should be the guide for the general society in general. So a lot of been in the movement for many years, they would immediately gravitate on this statement about how the Vaishnavas are focused on salvation, and for them, they are focused on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the science of devotional service, and it's very dear to the Vaishnava, Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's known as the mature fruit of Vedic knowledge, it's a superior subject matter, then the Karma Kanda, Nan Kanda, and Upasana Kanda. But as we know, as you know, in here, Srila Prabhupada does mention that we need all these sciences, the state should support all these Vedic sciences and the Brahmins who perform them so they can give their other services free. The whole point is that while we have the material body, we're living in the material world, we have to take help of all these different sciences, the knowledge, because not everybody is on the platform of pure devotional service, and we have children, family, extended family, and they're all at different levels. So we cannot artificially pretend that they're all following pure devotional service. Again and again, as you will see, just like yesterday was the last day of Shraddh. In the previous purport, which I read in the beginning, was number 13 and number 14, it is mentioned also when these ceremonies are properly performed and sacrifices, then demigod and the Pitralokas, they personally come to give the blessings to the newborn child and to partake of the offering that is mentioned in the sacrifice. So all these ceremonies are very important and necessary, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned. This is not only for social benefit. It has a purpose. And of all the samskaras, the Garbhadhan is considered the most important right now. Otherwise, we will be creating more and more Shudra population. So these samskaras, sometimes they are 12, sometimes they are 16, sometimes they are more. So they're very important. One thing Srila Prabhupada didn't mention here about the charity is also, it's purifying for the soul, because whatever obligations he has had in previous life, he can actually, by giving in charity, he becomes purified. So sometimes during the Shraddh ceremony, just as we know, this is a very simple example to understand, when you give in charity on behalf of somebody, that person on whose behalf you are giving, your forefathers or anybody, they actually benefit by the offering that is given on his behalf. So it is very scientific, which is the knowledge is lost, but it's important that we start implementing all these samskaras. And not only is there only spiritual benefit, but of course there is always the social benefit that by nature a human being is a social animal. So he likes to have this, we like to have this social gathering, have prasadam together, have fun, laugh, joke. It's very important, especially for grahasthas. It is much important, and that way they exchange the skills. We can relax in the association of like-minded people and devotees, and learn a lot from each other. So there are many, many benefits for this samskaras. So that's the samskaras. But one more point I wanted to stress again is, if you carefully study, and I have my PowerPoint listed on ISKCON Hawaii website when I first started doing the Devi Varnashram seminar, and it's listed that how the Mahajans, what is in their lives is they would follow both the material knowledge as well as the spiritual together, side by side. So the principle of Varnashram and pure devotional service together makes it Devi Varnashram. So it's not one or the other. So we keep maybe pointing finger to the Karma Kandis or people who follow Varnashram or remnants of Varnashram, as Srila Prabhupada calls it. You know, the Hinduism is remnants of Varnashram. So there are some remnants left. Just like I was mentioning, yesterday was the last day of Shraddh. Usually what happens is that whatever other days you missed out, or any day, any person in your family has departed on any of other days, the last day is for all the Pitris. So when one performs the Shraddh on that day, it is considered that it will be benefited to for all the person that have departed in your family. So the whole purpose of why doing this astrology for Parikshit, and it's mentioned that to have a good progeny. And what's the purpose of the progeny? As mentioned also in the previous canto, was it in the sixth canto and the seventh canto, about having a good son. It's called Putra. So the Putra is the one who delivers the forefather from the hell called Put. Tra means to deliver, and Put means son. So that is the purpose of having the son. And Manu Samhita says one is not enough. One should have at least two. When you have one son, it's considered no son. So they have two sons, and then when they perform ceremony that delivers the forefather from the hellish condition, if by chance they have gone there. If not, if they are in Pitra Loka, then they will be elevated to go to higher planetary system or to even attain salvation. In fact, in the Mahatmya of Srimad Bhagavatam, usually one's supposed to read this Mahatmya before you recite the whole scripture, just like there is a Mahatmya for the Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, there is a 7 or 8 verses which explain the Mahatmya, or it is normally mentioned that gives the benefit of reading the particular scripture. So similarly, there is a Mahatmya for the Bhagavatam of how one brother, Dudumbi, was delivered by his half-brother called Gokarna. Gokarna, you can see the temple in Vrindavan, his temple still there, was a boy with a cow's ears. Go means cow and Karna means ears, because there was a Brahman and his wife was very neglectful of all his duties or her duties, and they never had a son, and the man wanted a son. And she thought it would ruin her beautiful figure if she has a child. So the husband was always wondering why they couldn't have a child. So he went to see a sage, an astrologer or somebody, and he gave him a mango and he said that he give this to your wife. But the wife was very resentful, so she took the mango and threw it, and the cow ate it, and they gave birth to this beautiful son who had the ears of the cow. But he was such a good boy that he actually delivered this other son. They also had a son before, but he was actually, what happened was she gave half the mango to his sister or a neighbor, and when that neighbor gave birth, she brought the child, and that neighbor, who had many children, didn't mind, because she said, okay, you know, this child would be taken care of, because you don't have any, and I have many, and it's hard to maintain. So that's how she got the first child. But that child was really very, very sinful, and performed very many atrocious sins, and so he became a ghost later on. And this cow's son that was born from the cow, Gokarna, delivered his brother by reciting the Bhagavatam for 7 days, and that's how he was released from his ghostly body. And this is the story, in short, of the Mahatmya of the Bhagavatam, and it is available in ISKCON bookstores, and that's how I got it as well. So this is the point of the Shraddh ceremony. So the last day performed for all the persons, And we can see how Lord Ramchandra performed that, Lord Chaitanya performed that. But of course, we have Hari Bhakti Vilas given by Sanatana Goswami of how we can follow this instruction according to the Pancharatri Vidhi. It doesn't mean that if we are following Vaishnava path, pure devotional service, that we don't follow these regular rules and regulations of living in the material world. So Lord Krishna, when he comes, he was perfectly acting out all the duties of a grahastha life. Like first thing, he would get up and meditate on himself, even though he was a supreme Brahman, and then give charity. He would pay respects to his elders, perform his puja, and then give in charity the cows to the Brahmins, worship the Brahmins and elders, and then go to work in his assembly house. So we can see in the lives of all the acharyas, they would perform all these activities which may be called so-called material, but in the life of a devotee, when he is performing devotional service, everything becomes purified. There's nothing material about it. So we recommend that we look at this scripture from that point of view, just like I was mentioning that the devotees would neglect everything else and would focus on the one particular sentence about how Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of Vedic knowledge and disregard everything else. That we want to go back to Godhead and that's it, forget it. But then what about Devi Varnashram? What about our Guru Maharaj's instruction? What about Srila Prabhupada's desire and the Vaishnava Acharya's desire for establishing Varnashram for the rest of the population who are living in this material world, and we have to reorganize the society accordingly to the guna of the people and karma, not by birth. So we have a big task at hand, and we request all the Brahmins to carefully study this from this point of view. And in my classes, I would mention that if you thoroughly understand or try to understand this system of Devi Varnashram, then every purport you read in Prabhupada's books here in the Bhagavatam, you can see it from that point of view, from that light. Then you will see Varnashram, Devi Varnashram in action. So here is the instructions. The whole chapter is dedicated to Maharaj Parikshit about performing this samskara, of giving in charity, inviting the vipras, the Brahmins who do the astrology. And what's the purpose? In many places, also it's mentioned about the purpose is that a king wants a good son who could rule after him and deliver the forefathers. That's the purpose, to deliver the forefathers just in case if somebody have not elevated his soul up to going back to Godhead. So side by side, we have to cultivate both the knowledge as mentioned in Brahma Samhita, that this and also Ishopanishad. So this knowledge has to be performed side by side to be understood in that way. So we are very fortunate that many senior devotees and are also have given lectures, classes on this subject matter. In fact, if you want to hear Gopi Paramahansa's lectures, he's given some wonderful classes on the discourse between Swayambhuva Manu and Kadama Muni. There's so many lectures on ISKCON Desire Tree, and you can hear that. And that gives the description about the dialogue and the duties between the king or the Kshatriyas and the Brahmins. And this is very important at this time in ISKCON. So I urge all the Brahmins to study from that point of view. So you can see, do not neglect this. Oh, we think this is fruity activity, it is karma kanda, it doesn't apply to us. But are you sure that your children are following pure devotional service? Are you sure that the rest of our family members are following pure devotional service? And even if they are, which acharya gave up any of this dharma, Varnashram dharma? or the duties, following of the duties of the grahastha life, which acharya, you find me one, and then we'll discuss that. Except, unless if you are avduta or on a higher platform like that, like Lord Nityananda, you know, he's considered avduta, or Rishabhdev is avduta, Balram is avduta, Haridas Thakur is avduta. So, unless one is on that platform, everybody is required to follow the rules and regulation of Varnashram. But with proper grace, we have the Hare Krishna mantra, and we can also study the inner truths of the holy name and study both side by side. Just like at the time of Hiranyakashipu, there were so many atrocities going on against the Vaishnavas. So they would perform Vishnu worship very quietly in a seclusion. So there is Vishnu worship at old times when there's too much atrocities going on, then Supreme Lord personally comes to reestablish that. And just like it was performed quietly, so same as even now, there are many, many Vaishnavas, many other sampradayas, they're performing devotional service, but they are hidden. They may not look like they are performing devotional service because they are continuing with their karmakandic so-called activities, also of Varnashram Dharma or their social activities of grahastha life. Just like I want to give you an example of a lecture that was given by this Sridhar Maharaj. Before he left his body, he came to Vancouver and he gave his lecture. And he said, it is amazing that 80% of Hindus are actually following Vaishnava Dharma. And why would he say that? Because they are beginning to find a lot of Vaishnavas from different sampradayas. Even somebody is following Lord Dattatreya. They are still prominent. But of course, we know the general consensus right now is that it is all hodgepodge, it's all mixed up. Many people are following yatha mat, tatha mat, tatha pat, and like that. So some are following properly, but yes, it is the grace of Srila Prabhupada that he's given us the Bhagavad Gita as it is, so we can re-establish it purely, the pure devotional service, along with whatever the remnants of the Varnashram Dharma is there, we can encourage it and also start implementing in our life, because Varnashram Dharma is for all times. It's not that it will not be at some point, even though following pure devotional service, as long as we have the material body, we have to follow the rules of Varnashram Dharma, because it is material body after all, until it becomes fully spiritualized. And then gradually, when one reaches much higher level, then by the grace of his guru, he can gradually give up some of the rules of Varnashram Dharma. And that will be discussed among senior devotees. And it will be self-evident of which person can give up some of the rules of Varnashram. But generally, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that one should not disturb the minds of others, and one should not disregard the scriptures, Vedic scriptures. So I'll leave a lot of time today because there may be a lot of discussions if you like on these topics. Thank you very much. I hope I haven't offended anybody by this topic. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Now we'll take any questions and comments.
I have three questions.
Yes.
The duties of a brahmana, the patan, becoming a learned scholar and teaching. In the purport, it mentions about how even besides the astrological science and Ayurveda, there's also the science of military art, etc. If you have a craftsman, you know, let's say somebody make tables or whatever, furniture, they also teach you know, you become an apprentice and then you learn that skill. So what would the difference be between a Brahmana who's teaching and then someone who's just like a craftsman who's also teaching? That's one question. Then about the Vipras would appear to be a lower status of Brahmana because they're expert in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, where it explains, you know, you go up to the point where it's you're learning the Upasanakanda, which is devotional service to the Lord. And then the last question I have is about Upasanakanda. First of all, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Upasanakanda is devotional service to the Lord, and then he says once one becomes a sufficiently advanced, he becomes a Vaishnava, and then a Vaishnava is above all the other khandas, which include Upasana Khanda. So those are a couple of questions I have for you.
For me, I'm sure you have all the answers. Ramananda. Okay, so the first one was about carpenter, your question. So what's the difference between them and any other teacher? So the difference is obviously there that he's teaching the Brahman guru or a teacher. He is teaching the science of salvation, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned it. He's teaching the science of the getting out of the material world. As we know that many gurus, so anybody who's teaching you is a guru. And we know in the 11th canto there are all the 28 gurus. So even a snake is a guru. So there is a difference between the Brahman guru or a Vaishnav guru and other gurus. But they are gurus. One should respect all the gurus very nicely. And that the gurus of a Brahman is that they specifically the knowledge of getting out of cycle of birth and death, getting out of samsara. So that is the difference. The second question was about what? What was the second question?
Well, that was about Vipra, the status of Vipra. But the first point, well, then the military science is not going to get you out of the material world, but yet it's taught by Brahmanas.
Brahmanas actually are supposed to know all the sciences because they are actual gurus. The Vaishnavas are the gurus of the whole society, and the Brahmins are the head of the society. They are actually the head. So this is why the Brahminical education takes much longer. Sometimes it's almost to, you know, half their life. So they actually learn all the sciences in the Purvarnashram system. They learn all the sciences where the Kshatriyas are even going to learn from them, right? And then that is why we can see that these two gurus are mentioned. They are both Brahmins and they are teaching the science of Kshatriya military arts. So actually, the real teachers are the Brahmins. But then, gradually, if somebody becomes expert, they can teach that. But nobody can teach like the Brahmins because the Brahmins are so expert. I give you an example. I'm watching at a temple where they are doing holy ceremony. And this is at Gaur Purnima. When a Vaishnav Brahmin does the holy ceremony, he's so expert that he invokes Lord Vishnu in the fire. And anybody who is performing any sacrifice into the fire, you know, they benefit because they'll be going around Lord Vishnu. Whereas if a Vipra or a Karmakandi Brahman lights that holy fire, it will be just a holy fire. When I say holy, I mean Holika, the sister of Hiranyakashipu. So I was so amazed by the expertise of this Gurukula Brahman from Mayapur Gurukul that without anybody knowing, he is engaging thousands of people into whom they are thinking that they are performing Karmakanda or they are performing the Vedic rituals because there is a system where when they go around Holika, what is happened there? Holika was trying to burn away Prahlad. Their Vedic system is go around Holika, offer her popcorn, coconut, and date to give her this offering that please don't harm my son, like she was trying to harm Prahlad. So they make an offering for this benediction from Holika, right? But little do they know that actually they are worshipping Vishnu. So this is the difference between a Brahman guru and a Vipra or a Karmakandi. So this is why Srila Prabhupada wants the Brahmins to instill pure devotional service in everything they do. So, but also externally, they will be following the Vedic rituals. So that's the difference. And then about Upasankandi, you know, there are different Vedas. So that one is, first one is the Karmakandi is Yajur Veda, then the Rig Veda, then the Yajur Veda, and then the other one is Sam Veda. So when we do morning, we do the Dwani, you know, Prema Dwani. So we do Sam Veda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Why? Because Sam Veda is with all the Upasana. Upasana means the reciting of the mantras of Lord Vishnu. But then, when we perform pure devotional service, we are above all the Vedas. So that is what's the difference between Upasana Kanda and all the other Kanda. Because there's nothing like, Lord Vishnu personally, Lord Krishna personally gets sold out by the worship and the surrender of Vaishnava devotees. So that's the difference. Okay, so did we answer your second one? What was the second question? First one was about carpenter, second was Upasana, and the second one was what? The difference between Vipra and Brahmins?
So I got so many screens. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Just so many buttons to press here. The last one, about Upasana. Yes, thank you.
Okay, any other discussions? Opposition about following Varnashram Dharma?
Yeah. I have a question. This is Bijogda Marava. Das. The Prabhupada discouraged astrology at some point. And there were probably reasons for that. Some of the devotees were getting into it. And I've had also some experiences, negative experiences with astrologers. Could you say something about that?
Yes. In fact, in this particular chapter, it's three or four times Srila Prabhupada mentions, first of all, he's showing his disappointment that in present age, they're only doing for money. So very often Prabhupada would say they are not qualified and they would only do it for money or they want to do it thoroughly. In this particular chapter, if you go back, especially in the first two, 13 and 14th, right, that they are only doing. But they just like they are reciting Bhagavatam for money. So and they don't know the real purpose. So if it is true devotee who performs or follows astrology and studies it, and he will do it beneficially. Just like I know a really good devotee astrologer, and he says that if he doesn't follow the rule of astrology, he will come blind in his next life. So what is the rule of the astrology? One of the rules is that one should not jeopardize or go over a person's right of invasion, right? Suppose a mother wants to find a birth chart of her son, but the son is over 20 years old. So that will be an invasion of the right of the son. You understand? So if the astrologer does that for his fees and material benefit, then he'll become blind in his life. But a Vaishnava knows the rules, so he won't do that. So I know the statement that Srila Prabhupada made also one time that he can kick Rahu off, right? You know, if there is any bad omens, he'll kick it off with his foot. So for a devotee, none of these things apply. And which devotee? Person who is surrendered. A person who wants to get out of cycle of birth and is very serious. None of this thing would apply. In fact, I saw an article long time ago in ISKCON World Review where they mentioned a very good astrologer had mentioned that actually for him, it's very hard to see a chart of a devotee because none of this thing apply. So who is a devotee? A devotee who is fully surrendered, he would know for himself that he's fully taken shelter of Krishna and everything else is subsidiary. So all this is we know is material science. So as we mentioned in our class, that do you know if your children are following pure devotional service? do you know, just by we think that if they are in the movement, they accept Krishna as God, we take it as if that is pure worship service. But service, actually, bhakti, di means what? Doing service, right? Seva. So when we perform this to the Supreme Lord, under the guidance of Guru, that is when the bhakti starts. First of all, the bhakti starts when you accept a Guru. And that takes a great surrender after millions of births, Brahmande, Brahmite, Konya, Pajivar, Guru, Krishna, Prasad, Paya, Bhakti, Lata, Beach. So how can one perform bhakti without bhakti, Lata, Beach? And that beach has to come from Guru. So pure devotional service starts from the point of surrender and accepting the Guru. Everything else is a preparatory system, really, to come to the point of surrender of a Guru. And the bhakti really starts from that. But we become so callous these days that we considered somebody who is cooking prasadam, somebody is offering prasadam, then we think, oh, he's following pure devotional service. But actually, if you look at the Gayatri book and you find out that a Gayatri is not accepted until one has chanted 16 rounds, and a prasadam is not accepted by Krishna unless that person has chanted 16 rounds and performs his Gayatri. But all this is in the worship. So that's very much detailed. So yeah, we become very callous when we see other people. So that is bhakti. And when we come to point of bhakti, then a person knows that he doesn't need these things, but just for the sake of his children, his family, we accept this. Yes, you agree, right? That for pure devotional service is discouraged, because Miss Prabhupada also mentioned that for people who are misusing it, and this is the chapter when you want to really do research about astrology, this is the chapter that it is a necessary science while we live in the material world for people who are materialistic, but a devotee is so humble, he doesn't pose himself as following pure devotional service. He actually acts like a materialistic. He thinks he shows that he's a materialistic and he needs more mercy. Anyway, that's my understanding. I hope that helps. Anything else?
Is there a scriptural reference for what you just said, that Krishna won't accept the prasadam unless 16 rounds on Gayatri?
Well, this is going to the deity worship book. That's where the reference is, deity worship book and Gayatri. But it's not like very hard and fast rule. It's the devotion. Krishna accepts the devotion. But when you actually analyze a question of devotion, right, we cannot judge anybody. Right? A person may not be initiated, but if he's on the path of accepting Guru, because accepting a Guru is a great humility. He's surrendering his soul at the feet of his Guru. So we can understand, a person's not accepting a Guru, then where is he at? What is he performing? Right? So, you know, why do people go to Mayapur to deity worship classes? Because there's so much we can learn about the actual rules and regulations. But
so I'm a little confused. You said Krishna won't accept the prasadam. Now you're saying he will accept it?
Yeah, because he accepts the love and devotion. So remember, everything else is bringing us to the point of surrender. So he accepts, even just like a person who brought toilet roll in the 22nd Avenue in the early days, and people Prabhupada accepted it, right? But when we come to the higher standard of deity worship, and then you can see the Brahmins in Mayapur, look at the standard there. So there is a high standard and there is a low standard, right? So, but he does accept love and devotion, and all this is practiced in the beginning for a person to come to Purimansas. There is a difference. We call it prasad, right? There is a difference between Mahaprasad. There is a difference between prasad, Mahaprasad, and Mahaprasad. So that is different category, as you already know.
Can I get a comment or two?
Sure.
I just read that Prabhupada made no distinguishing between Mahaprasad and Mahaprasad. They used to fight over Prabhupada's prasad. He used to have it all mixed. I I was there in Mayapur, because he said the Maha Maha Prasad and the Prasad is not different, you know. Because they were thinking, okay, we take Maha Maha Prasad from Prabhupada, but actually they were very materialistically thinking that I only want the, you know, this and this. I don't want this and this. So he said, just mix it up, because there's really no difference between Maha. That just said is a poetic device, Prabhupada. I just read that actually in either Harishari's book. So although it says Maha Prasad, Maha Maha Prasad, but if one actually makes that distinction, anything that's Prasad is Prasad.
Hmm.
The only other thing I wanted to say is when you mentioned the Prema Dwani, kind of, you said the Samaveda, but actually the Samaveda is not, it's the Samaveda. Samaveda means like Samaveda Yayutsavaha, means that the congregation of devotees had nothing to do with the Samaveda as a Vedic Shastra. This is Samaveda. Samaveda means the assembly of devotees.
That's good. Thank you. I have also heard.
Sorry, I don't know how you got the idea, but that's not exactly right.
I have heard people glorifying Samaveda as well. Also,
that might be. Prabhupada glorified Samaveda when he was speaking with Beatles, and he quoted a verse from the 12th canto, "Young Brahma Varunendrudramarudastun Vati Devai Devai Vedai Sangha Parakramasana." Gainti Yang Samaveda, like that. The followers of Samaveda, they chant, they sing Samaveda. He was trying to point out to Yoko Ono that it's because everything in the Samaveda means a song, singing very wonderfully, you know, the shows to all the slokas. So I think the word song must be from Samaveda.
Thank you for your comments, and
Prema Dwani, you see the word is Samaveda Bhaktivinoda, because it's the groups of devotees are assembled. Yes. It has nothing to do with Samaveda. Anyway.
Yes, thank you anyway. But as I said, I have also heard people glorify Samaveda during Prema Dwani time as well. But this is true. Thank you for clarifying.
Okay. If you say so, I've never heard anywhere. But that's not the way Prabhupada or anyone says Samaveda. Samaveda has a different meaning. They may say Samaveda. I don't know anyone who says glorifies the Samaveda, but they may do that. That's okay. That's optional, but that's very, very, I've never heard of it, but yeah, if you say so.
Okay, anyone else? Any comments? Other questions? Okay, then.
Well, thank you very much, Mother
Makandari.
Thank you.
I was again going to apologize to everybody for, I was saying that we should all go over to free conferencing, but sometimes we have problems with that. So we had problems with that this morning. Don't give up on us. It should probably be up and working tomorrow.
Thank you.
I have one other announcement I wanted to make, if everybody's still here. By the way, I talked to Sri Dayananda Maharaj. I don't know if I said this or not, but I talked to Sri Dayananda Maharaj, and he's going to come on again in about 3 weeks from now, and the topic will be how to defeat the arguments of the atheists. So that'll be coming up, I think, on the 22nd of this month, of October. Anyway.
Thank you. All glories to Prabhupada and all glories to the assembled devotees. The wind, the key.
Thank you, Mother Gandhari.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.